It's a mere 30 years since the first model and beauty queen appeared in New Zealand. She was Miss Esther James of Auckland, who was first seen in the Auckland Town Hall to help publicise Wool Week. Later, she was seen in the window of the largest city store in Wellington. Miss James was not known as either a beauty queen or a model, but as a mechanical mannequin. The manager of the store, an enterprising businessman, intended her show to be a crowd stopper. And he and Miss James succeeded so well that traffic jams resulted, and he was taken to court by an irate transport department and heavily fined. The demands made on a model were rather different 30 years ago from what they are today. Miss James first had to provide a clay mask of her face. This she made herself at art school. The mask was then placed on the face of a life-sized wax dummy figure, while Miss James covered her own face with a thick concealing powder that made her resemble the dummy. Then she and the dummy were placed side by side in the main window of the store. The curtains were drawn aside, the first pedestrian stopped, stared, and those famous traffic jams soon piled up. Bets were placed on which mechanical mannequin was which. Miss James recalls that crowds started camping around the store window an hour before the show. Then, as it got underway, the store manager came every 15 minutes with a large key and wound both models with a great deal of heavy pantomime. Miss James often felt she looked more blank in the face and stiffer in the joints than the wax dummy. This was the heyday of the flapper, the giddy 30s. It was also the time of the Depression, and local manufacturers decided to capitalize on this dashing new attraction, the beauty queen and model. But there was no thought of spending money to send her on a tour of the country in a car, or even in a train. Not at all. In the 30s, models were expected to be fit and tough, as well as beautiful. The manufacturers merely wound up their mechanical mannequin and sent her walking through New Zealand, literally from one end to the other, 1,600 miles on foot. A beauty queen was a sort of Olympic champion, they thought, and the organisers acted like stern coaches determined to see a track record broken. The walk was made in the interests of New Zealand-made goods, and during the 1,600-mile jaunt, Miss James wore New Zealand-made clothes, including shoes, frocks, and hair ribbons, and ate only locally grown foods. Her vital statistics, incidentally, were 31, 24, 34, exactly right for the tubular frocks of the 30s. Lady Bledisloe was among the eminent people who agreed to sponsor the walk. Miss James stayed with many of these people in the course of her trip. Trip, however, is a pale word for the triumphant tour of this first New Zealand beauty queen. She was met and welcomed by deputations on the outskirts of many towns and cities. Girl guides greeted her with guards of honour, pipers piped her along the way, mayors handed her their seals of office, and poets wrote poems about beauty on the march, including one epic entitled From End to End of New Zealand. In those days, a beauty queen never just passed by a place. Miss James's itinerary took her by Mount Egmont, and nothing would do but she had to climb the mountain en route. By the time she reached Dunedin, the mechanical mannequin's feet, even in New Zealand-made shoes, were beginning to feel sore. Dunedin, however, received her so heartily and piped her so fervently through the streets, Miss James was glad to stand a little longer while she received the freedom of the city. After the success of that tour, local manufacturers realised models were here to stay. It was time, they decided, to show the world that New Zealand was right up to the minute, with its very own beauty queens as fashionably tubular as any in the world. So they arranged with the government tourist department to send Miss James to Australia to publicise New Zealand tourist attractions. As soon as she landed there, she was off on another walk, just a little one this time of 1,400 miles from Melbourne to Brisbane. Beauty queens in those days also had to be accomplished public speakers as well as everything else, and able to cope with the newfangled wireless, public dinners, receptions, afternoon teas, balls, picnics, and other social events where beauty queens are on show. Miss James walked from Melbourne to Brisbane in midsummer, giving talks about New Zealand tourist attractions wherever she was invited to stop. She enjoyed every step of the way. One of the best ways of winning friends and influencing people, she still believes, is to be a mechanical mannequin, strolling through the countryside in the summer. In the course of her Australian tour, Miss James spoke on every major radio station in the country. She also cut a considerable dash in Sydney, where the new and then rather daring walking outfits were being displayed in a well-known store. In the heyday of the flapper, Miss James was exactly the model the proprietor wanted, and she was chosen to introduce women's shorts to a fascinated and horrified Sydney. She says the most dashing and shocking part of the new fashion was the 4 inches of bare knee it displayed. Miss New Zealand appears in a bathing suit today and nobody blinks, but my shorts with those 4 inches of knee really stopped the traffic. For a few days, her knees were the most famous in Sydney. Everyone wanted to see the shorts and then to try them on. Stout customers, thin ones, bony ones. The show was tremendously popular and an instant success. Everyone agreed that shorts would soon be as indispensable as cami neckers. No one was surprised, really, when the modelling shows in Sydney caused traffic jams too. For each of these personal appearances, Miss James received 1 guinea. Today she still has her model statistics and seems to get about at the same whirlwind pace she did in the 30s. Since her mechanical modelling days, she has, among other things, turned a versatile hand to inventing, skiing. She won an international ski race down the Tasman Glacier in 1932, public speaking, acting, dress designing, writing, and her profession as an architect. If her active life since the 30s is any proof of her personality, then she certainly must have had what it takes to become New Zealand's first model and beauty queen.